Welcome to The Odyssey, a podcast by and about Mesa County Libraries. My name is Bethany.
And I'm David.
This segment is brought to you by Poetry Night. Explore poetry topics and poets, and then share your own work.
Hey, Bethany, what's up?
Hey, Dave.
All right, today we have Michelle, Library Director Michelle. So be on your best behavior. We're going to be talking about the strategic plan. So, Michelle.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
All right.
We just released a strategic plan, and if you go to our website, download this bad boy, the first thing that I notice is the opening paragraph. Our goal with Mesa County Libraries is to be aspirational. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
So, I mean, obviously I'm a library nerd, but I work in a library and I see all the amazing things that our staff do every day. And I hear from our patrons when I'm out in the community, when I'm having conversations, when they realize I'm from the library, they'll like stop and interrupt and there'll be some compliment or some question that follows. So we really, it's really important that the library brings the community together and brings people's hopes and dreams, and that we can be that place for people that they can escape from something. They can read a book, they can learn information, they can build on their future. So we want to be aspirational.
Yeah. I think we already do a really good job of that, but 2020, let's boost it up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start digging into the plan. Let's start off, how does a library use a strategic plan to function?
Sure. So one of the things I talk about to people is this crazy thing that libraries do, that we serve birth through beyond retirement. That's crazy. Like, that is not a good business plan. That is not a good business model. A business coach would be like, nope, you got to pick your audience, you know, one, maybe two, but we've got the whole spectrum. We've got the life cycle going on at the library. So the strategic plan helps us focus and make decisions on what we're going to do, because we can't do everything. We don't have bottomless pots of money, time, staff, et cetera, et cetera. So this helps us focus and make decisions on what we will spend our money and our time on.
And okay. They usually take quite a while to do, correct? How long did you have to come up with the strategic plan?
So most libraries typically spend a year. I've even heard longer in some cases. And we had 5 months. So we got it done. But when I started in July, the past strategic plan was going to be done in December. So we had to get it going. And the staff team that I worked with was amazing. And I said, buckle up, folks. Here we go. And they jumped in with me.
All right, so this new plan is 2020 through 2022, so a two-year plan, three-year plan. And let's just talk about the areas of focus. So the first one, access to services. What does that mean?
Yep. So access to services, we're looking at service delivery. So something Mesa County Library already does, for example, is a Words by Wheel program delivery service for people that can't get to the library. So we deliver them materials. We currently have a waiting list for that. So we're looking at ways that we can expand on that and cover everybody that we want to cover. So that's an example of service delivery innovation. And we might consider books by mail too in the future. We'll see. Well, that comes with a price tag. So not sure we'll be able to do that. And the second goal we have under that area of focus is outside the walls. So this is just recognizing that not everyone's going to come to the library. Not everybody can come to the library. We might be able to intersect in their lives in other ways. So we're looking at those opportunities and ways we can do that.
Okay. And then space and place. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
So one of the things that we get a request from the community is different service providers wanting to come to the library and help serve their population too. So we are known in the community as being a hub. A lot of people come to the library. It's a safe space to go to. And a lot of people want to come alongside us and deliver their services. So we're looking at things like that. We're also looking at removing barriers too. When they come to the library, if there's something service-wise that doesn't make a lot of sense, how can we make it easier? One really simple example of that is a lot of people don't know you can put your library card barcode on your phone and scan it off your smartphone. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of, oh, I don't have my library card with me, or I don't have somebody else's with me. This is one of those ways to remove that barrier. And then focusing on user experience too, just kind of paying attention to again, things in the building that we can improve on and make better. One of them is our elevator is original to the building. And
yeah. And so, that's the central library we're talking about.
The central library, yeah, that's our only building that has an elevator. And it's the original Safeway elevator where the produce used to go up and down from the floors. And it actually is not ADA. You could get stuck in your wheelchair in that elevator. It's not good. We don't want that at all. So right. That's an example of that's not a good user experience. We're going to try and improve on that. And then the last goal we have is to build community. So this is something where we want to build people together and bring them together and have them kind of have a chance to nerd out on what they love together and meet each other and learn about new things together. So we want to build interest groups and kind of be a little purposeful in our programming.
Okay. A great example of building community already is Culture Fest, for example, or Comic-Con, right. Two big events that we do that draw in a lot of interesting people and a good amount of people throughout the community that we don't necessarily see every day.
And we only do that once a year.
Yeah.
Once a year, those people come together. So now we're trying to think of how else can we bring them together? What other times of the year will they come and do something at the library together? Because they love the events. And so we want to keep that goodness going.
Right. Okay. And then the last piece, the major piece of the plan is education. Mm-hmm.
So one of the goals under education that we want to focus on is improving access. I have a lot of conversations with people around the community. And for our literacy center, these are students that are working on their GED, their career online high school diploma, their citizenship test or learning English, any of those things. And one of the things that I hear is there are students that can't participate because of childcare issues. So I don't want anyone to come to a class and leave their child home alone. And obviously the parents don't want that either. So how can we improve that access? What can we do to help to make it so that they can come to the library and get education and still have their kids looked after? That's an example of improving access to education that the library has a viewpoint on. And then developing curriculum. So again, around these communities of interest, do we need to develop programming and certain things related to that? One of the things that's interesting to me, so when I was, this might date me, but when I was going to school, I had home ec. So I had wood shop, I had cooking, so I can make macaroni and cheese like nobody's business thanks to my home ec class. I can sew buttons on clothes, and I can saw things out of wood. They don't have that so much anymore. Right. And, you know, it is something that I use. It's something I even teach my children to do. But that doesn't happen. So are we in a world where we need that? And that might be an example of curriculum that we would develop that's needed in the community because it isn't anywhere else.
Yeah, that's a very different idea for what I think most people think a library is too.
Absolutely. Well, and it's the libraries filling that need. If people are coming up and saying, hey, we don't know how to use a sewing machine, that's kind of an old trade, so to speak. And so where do you learn to do that?
I don't know. Yeah. From my mom? From you? Apparently.
Right? I'll give you lessons.
Okay. You know, one thing that I keep thinking about with education, it's always surprising to me how many people have gone through our career online high school classes, our GED classes. That's something that really surprised me when we found out that number. I think we had graduated 18 people this year. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah, that's amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people would associate a library with that as well.
Absolutely. Well, and I think for Mesa County Libraries in particular, one thing that really impressed me when I first started here is that we get those seats, the student spots, so to speak, from the state library. And they gave us an original allotment, and we filled those up. And then they gave us more, and we filled those up. And then they gave us more. So they were giving us basically the unused slots that other libraries weren't filling.
So I wanted to know how the staff team came up with these goals, because they sound awesome, but how did they even determine that this is what we wanted to focus on?
Sure. So we did a lot of feedback from the community. I was doing open houses in the branches, so I was asking questions of our patrons. We did a community survey, so we've got feedback and information from that. And our managers went out and interviewed community leaders in different sectors of Mesa County. And so we tried to get feedback from the outside as much as possible. And then we looked at library trends, especially library trends that are coming up that made sense for Mesa County and things that we thought were on the horizon. Maybe an example of that is like rural services, because we have branches that are in really rural places in Mesa County. And just really delved in and looked at that and then kind of applied it to Mesa County. And then we had our staff as well. We had some staff meetings where they went through and shared some feedback on issues they were seeing, either working in the library or living in Mesa County. So we had kind of all of our frontline staff working as well. And that sounds like a tremendous amount of information, and it is. It was a lot to sift through and work through. And we did, and we kind of started funneling it down and looking at the areas of focus, how many people it would affect, how many people it would really benefit. And again, you're kind of going back to your bang for your buck. Where are you gonna get your most money's worth out of that?
Well, kudos to you and that group for getting it done in 5 months.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
It was amazing. Yeah, no, they were great.
Well, cool. Last question I have is, since we have a 3-year plan and we have an announced Clifton project, how does this plan work with that Clifton project as well?
Absolutely. So there's definitely a lot that we'll be looking at for the Clifton project as far as like barriers to service and space and place and room for classrooms out there. Clifton happens to be the one area of Mesa County where we draw a lot of our literacy students from, for example. So we're looking at that. We're considering things like a drive-through service window at the new library, so people don't have to actually get out of their car to return their materials or pick up holds. So they would be able to do that. So again, things were very early on, our dreams and wishes for our new Clifton Library, but also a lot of focus on community space, you know, meeting rooms right. and study rooms and gathering and what that looks like.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm excited for the upcoming 3 years.
Yeah. I know. It sounds like you guys have thought it out.
It's going to be good.
Well, thanks for your time, Michelle. Awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And if you want more information about the strategic plan, you can, of course, download it at mesakennylibraries.org and check it out and read it for yourself.
Great. Thank you for having me.
This segment is brought to you by the 970 West Studio. Tap into your creativity at the 970 West Studio. Talk to a staff member to see how the 970 West Studio can bring your digital projects to life.
Welcome back, Shauna, our associate director.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Hey, today we have you on because recently we went fines free at Mesa County Libraries. And I feel like a lot of people either don't know that or they have questions about the process. So I thought it would be good to have you come on.
Sure. Yeah. It's exciting that, you know, starting in January this year, we went fines free. We don't charge fines.
That's awesome. Why did we decide to go fines free?
Well, so one of the things, it's been a trend in libraries for the last several years. And if you look at our strategic plan, which I know you just talked about, one of our goals is to remove barriers. And what we found is that fines really weren't an incentive to bring back items, but it actually created a barrier. A lot of people either didn't use the library or, you know, didn't check out as much items as they could have, you know, and it affected especially children. You know, I hear a lot out in the community, you know, you tell somebody you're a librarian or you work at the library and you get one of two responses. Awesome. I love the library. Or, man, I think I owe you fines. I haven't been in years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that barrier is like we just don't need to keep people away that need the library the most.
Exactly. I think one of the arguments I've heard for keeping fines is that it taught responsibility to children. And that argument's always really hard for me because I don't want the library to be seen as we have to teach you your responsibility, you know?
Yeah, and it's not really our responsibility to teach kids responsibility. And ultimately, it's the parents. Like, the parents are the ones that bring kids to the library and keep track of their stuff. You know, it was the kids that were missing out and getting punished for the behavior of their parents.
Exactly.
So, you know, our goal is to have library materials in the hands of as many people as possible and be as accessible as possible.
And there was about, was it 2,000 or 4,000 people blocked just because of fines?
So before we went fines free, we had over 11,000 people blocked because of fines.
Whoa.
Yeah. And wow. Then once we waived all the fines, we cleared up about 5,400 people that are now unblocked and can come back to the library.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a huge number of people.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we should probably dig into this policy a little bit and kind of define what that actually means. Mm-hmm. So what sort of fines are we waiving?
So typically, you know, you bring a book back 10 days late and it's 10 cents a day overdue. So that would be $1 in fines. So those are what we're not charging for anymore, that 10 cents a day late fee.
Okay.
If you check out, you know, a bunch of DVDs and you don't bring them back, Dave, you will be billed for those items.
Don't single me out. That's not, okay. that's not my problem.
Not just you, but anybody who checks out something after 30 days, we'll send them a bill. And they can't use the library until they return the item or pay for it.
Right. I think what you're talking about is theft.
Exactly.
You just take something and you don't bring it back. That's
It is stealing. Yes. So we still hold people accountable for that.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, if you're late, and what we were finding is that, you know, 10 cents a day, if they still had three more chapters to finish, they weren't going to return it on the due date anyway. They were going to finish the book, pay the 30-cent fine or 60-cent fine. So it wasn't really encouraging people to bring things back in time anyway.
Sure. Okay. So all overdue items, as long as they're returned back or wiped.
Exactly.
And then accumulated fines as well, right?
Right. So anything retroactive before, like on January 1st, I went in and logged into our computers and just waived everybody's overdue fines. So if they had something in the past that wasn't a replacement fee, you know, if they still had the item, but if it was just an overdue fine, those are gone now.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, and we've had so many people coming in the last month just thanking us, going, I'm so glad I can come back to the library. I can bring my kids. Thank you so much. This was my favorite Christmas present. We had somebody say that. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like, this was the best news I've had, and I can't wait to come back and use the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just sitting here, like a couple dollars in fines doesn't really seem like a lot, but if you had a couple kids and they all had dollars and dollars worth of fines, that can add up pretty quick.
It does. You know, you have 40 items you can check out. You have three kids, you know, that's like, what, 120 items. And, you know, maybe you miss going to the library, so they're all 2 weeks late. That's, I won't
that's
ask you to
number.
Do math.
No, it's don't a ask big number. Yeah.
It adds up. But, you know, so it adds up. And then once that happens, then parents are reluctant to take your kids back. Or if they do, it's like you can get two items. And that's not what we want. We want kids to have as many, you know, books in front of them as we can.
I think the coolest thing that I've seen so far is when we are getting returned items in public services, we're seeing a lot of items that had been billed and are now coming back to the library. I think the one that I saw most recently was like 200 days overdue.
Whoa.
And had been billed. And then it came back.
Yeah.
And I have to believe that most of that is because we're fines free.
Oh, for sure. You know, that the increase of things coming back over the last month has been significant. And so not only is it allowing people to come back, they're bringing back these items that they've been afraid to like step into the library with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. I think that'll probably help our circulation numbers, all of our attendance numbers. Everything is going to go up because of this.
Right. That's what we're, you know, that's our thought is that more people come back, be less afraid to, you know, check out items, use the library more.
Should we or should patrons expect longer wait times for their items? I know that's been a concern is that people will say, well, nothing is ever going to be on the shelf now because there's no incentive to bring it back.
Right. Well, like we talked about earlier, it really wasn't an incentive. You know, basically people avoided coming to using the library after they got fines. And so I don't think we're really going to run into that. We're working towards having more copies of the popular items, you know, going forward anyway. So I don't think we'll see a significant change.
And I think the libraries that had implemented this before us, like DPL, had noticed that there really was no change
right.
in return times.
Yeah. Many other libraries have done this before us, and they haven't seen a big change.
Of course, we will monitor, I'm assuming. And then if anything does happen to be different, we'll respond accordingly. But
for sure. If we run into a problem with certain types of items or equipment, then we'll adjust as needed just to best serve all of our patrons.
I'm very excited for this new Finds Free. It makes working at the front desk a lot more fun because I don't have to tell people that they have $10 in overdue fines. Now I can say, there's no fines. So yeah, feel free to check out what you want.
Well, and that's been a huge benefit. You know, we used to have over 25,000 people have fines. Mm-hmm. And now those conversations at the front desk can be about library services or something else. And the amount of staff time to collect those 10 cents a day fines was huge. And so it really was spending a lot of money to collect a little bit of money.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. That sounds, you know, good all around for everybody.
Yeah, win, good news. Happy New Year.
Yeah. And if you want to dig into the fine free policy, there's a website on our homepage. You can click on that and you can learn a little bit more about the program, what fines are being waived, which ones are still being collected. But this sounds really positive for a lot of people.
For sure. If you have any old library items, bring them back. Come back to the library. We'll update your library card. We want to see you again.
And any staff member would be more than happy to answer your questions. If you have anything that you want to ask in terms of fines, we're happy to help.
Great. Thanks, Shauna.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast is recorded at the 970 West Studio at the Central Library in downtown Grand Junction. Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media for library updates. For more information about the library, visit mesacountylibraries.org.